Good morning, everyone. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. We're in Gospel of John, chapter 13. Let's just get a running start at it, and we'll begin reading in verse 31 of chapter 13. And when he had gone out, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him." I'm going to read the old King James straightway. Then Jesus says this, "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, so I say now to you, where I'm going, you cannot come." Now, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, so that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one another. All right. Now this week. And Simon Peter said, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, I say to you that the cock will not crow till you have denied me three times." And with that, the great final farewell address of Christ begins in earnest. It's been going on just a little bit, but in chapter 13. But with that, the Lord will say some of the most amazing things that we have recorded in the Bible from this point on until Jesus crosses back over the Kidron Valley and all the terrible and wonderful things happen. Anyway, with that, we come to this word about Peter. And of course, Jesus had just, and this is slightly by way of review, had just told them, as Judas had left, "Now the Son of Man is glorified." And he basically tells them that the cross has been chosen, the resurrection and exaltation lies ahead, and he's given them a new commandment to love one another. And this is going, God is going to glorify him. He's going to do this right away. I mean, things are just right there. The most glorious events in all of history. And Peter, and it's so good, Peter's, we have him. And it's so good that as Christians, we're now quite acquainted with Peter. And we've come to expect that he's going to be out of joint or out of phase with what's getting ready to happen. But don't you just love him? And Peter says, "Well, where are you going? Why can't we go?" And he says there that he is, you read it, he says, where I am going, you cannot follow me. And this is just as he had told the Jews earlier. That's in verse 33. You will seek me. And as I said, told the Jews, so I say to you now, I'm going away. And I just thought, the Jews had said, and then the Jews go right ahead and they say to Jesus, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Where's he going? Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below and I am from above. You are of this world and I am not of this world. I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And you're not following me. And I, as I thought about those things, and that Jesus is basically, he brought the subject back up. He says, I'm just as I told the Jews, I'm going. And again, we don't understand how difficult that was for them. This was the last thing on their mind. The Messiah was going to come and he was going to beat those Romans, and he was going to win. And finally, the man we want to be the head of our country will be elected and everything will be great. But that is not what was coming. And so when Jesus said, I go away, the Jews didn't understand it. And of course, they attribute all kinds of crazy things, as if he might go away, or is he going to go to the Gentiles, that kind of stuff. They have no understanding. But here Peter speaks for the rest of them. They don't either. And Jesus says, with the Jews, it's a matter of character. He says, you do not believe that I am he. And their misunderstanding is, their denseness comes from their lack of faith. Now, Peter's pretty dense too, but it's not because of that. He's all in. Lord, where do we go? Jesus says, are you going to go? Remember when the crowd started to thin out and Jesus looks around and says, you going to go away too? What did Peter say? We're not going anywhere. You have the words of life. Peter was all the way in. He jumped right in. But nevertheless, both of them, both the Jews and Peter, didn't understand. With Peter, it's a matter of timing. And his willingness to follow Jesus was real, I think, and authentic. But there's going to be some things that are going to happen to Peter and to Peter, that will make all the difference. The work of the cross, the coming of the Spirit, at this point, is Peter ready? Not now. Jesus basically says, you'll come and you will follow me, but not now. And this great work of the cross and the work of the Spirit is coming. And Peter is not at all equipped to handle what's coming. The Jews just flat didn't understand it and didn't believe it, Christ. And so they all come down to the fact that they really are dense and out of joint. And I, as I thought of that, isn't it terrible that Christians and unbelievers sometimes just act exactly the same thing and have the same questions? Lord, where are you going? What are you talking about? And some of them think, well, where's he going? What's he talking about? Peter basically said the same thing. And I want you to know, in many ways it encouraged me. Because when I look at my heart, I just see a human. And this humanness comes out. Both of them are out of joint with the ways of God, and they ask these questions. The same exact questions. So there's a warning there for us that the spiritual things, if we don't understand, it is just best to say, Lord, I don't understand. But Peter says, where are you going, Lord? You can't follow. Lord, why not? I'll follow. I'm ready to go right now. It should warn us. And I mean this with all my heart. It's just better to say you don't know. I think if down through the centuries Christians have been willing to say that more, it would have been better. But back to the fourth gospel again. We don't hear from this point on, from when Peter says he's going to follow Jesus right to the end, until we have after this, we don't hear from Peter again until the garden. And this is gospel, the fourth gospel, chapter 18, verses 10 through 11. Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus. Isn't that just a little note? By the way, we're going to meet one of the slaves, one of his kinsmen up there at the high priest's house. She's going to say to Peter, hey, I know you. Anyway, and Peter cuts off the ear, the right ear of the slaves, of the high priest's slave. And Jesus therefore turns and says to Peter, put the sword in the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? You might just say Peter was packing. He had a concealed carry permit. But it would do him no good at this point. I have one of those little sticks. We call it a whopper stick because when I go with the grandkids out to walk in down in the creek bottoms down there or down the street where there's a pit bull down there that once bit me and that kind of stuff. And so I carry a little stick. It's an extending baton I'm carrying. And remember earlier Jesus says, if you have two swords, you know, remember that? And they show him, Lord, we have these swords. And Jesus says, it's enough. One day I was telling Elizabeth, I need a gun. She says, it's enough what you got. She's quoting the Bible. Anyway, I said, okay. But listen, Peter was willing to go all in for Jesus on his own terms. Peter's own terms. Not Jesus' own terms. This idea of the cross was as foreign to them and as counter to everything they understood. And Peter was really, he was all in. He took that sword and hit that guy on the right side of his face and just sliced off his ear. Sometimes we come to our God and we have plans, and we have plans on how we're going to help the kingdom of God along and do the right thing and push forward God's purposes in the earth, but we really could be off base. And I want you to know, this is a warning to us. Peter was a good guy. Anybody here want to say Peter's no good? He got out of that boat. You hadn't got out any boat and walked on water. Peter was a real good guy. But here he is just as wrong, 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 wrong. And this helps me to love. I hope it helps you to love me and me to love you, because Christians could be really cattywampus. Out of phase. I was thinking this morning about that expression. Steve, does that have something to do with electrical? If you get something out of phase, can that be bad? Might not be bad. What if I hook something up as one phase and into something that's another? How's that going to work? You're going to have trouble. Good. That's all I wanted you to say. This is Socratic method. Peter was really out of phase with the mysteries of God and the truth of God and what was going on right there with him. But I want you to know, he was a good guy. This ought to help you love your brother. It ought to warn you to be nice to your brother, because he just like you. And it also should warn us that sometimes, when we look into our own heart, we have come to God on our own terms, expecting a certain way of life and expecting certain things from him, and what we expect isn't right. It ought to make us hold our opinions very lightly. In John chapter 16, it's coming up. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, and each to his own home, and to leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father's with me. In Mark's gospel, it says, and Jesus said to them, you will all fall away. Just like Peter, by the way. Because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away, Lord, I will not. Peter was all in. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, that you yourself, this very night, before the cock crows twice, shall three times deny me. But Peter kept saying, insistently, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And listen to what it says. And they all were saying the same thing. And skip down to verse 51 of Mark's gospel, who I think this little verse is a symbolizes God's people. They all left him and fled, and a certain young man was following Jesus, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body, and they seized him. But he left the linen sheet behind and escaped naked. Listen, we are all trying to get away from what's happening to Jesus. And in some sense, every Christian, when he comes before God, if he comes before God clothed, it'll be with the righteousness of Christ and not his own. This is a warning to the Christians. I have here in my little notes here, warning, warning, warning. And I love the little show, Lost in Space, Warning Will Robinson. Anybody old enough to know what that show is? Remember, did he wave his arms around or something? I forget. Warning. And I wish Terrell was here. If he ever hears this, I expect him to hear it. Only word I have in my Spanish vocabulary is peligro. Is what's that mean? Danger? Is that right?
Warning,
danger. I used to tell a fellow that worked with me, and he's, I love him, and I'm going to see him in heaven. I haven't seen him in a long time. I'll probably see him in heaven before I see him literally again. I mean, on this earth. And I used to, we'd be out cleaning flower beds and stuff, and there'd be a little poison ivy go through there. And he would snicker at my Spanish. And I'd point to poison ivy, peligro, peligro. And he'd look at me like, that ain't going to hurt me. He'd grin. And he'd dig in there and pull it all out, and I'd think, great. I said, warning. One day I went to pick him up for work, and he stood there in the door of his house with his gym shorts on, and he was covered from stem to stern with poison ivy. And he didn't speak a lot of English, but he said in perfect English, poison ivy. Warning. So we took him off to Dr. LaBarbara. He was my doctor back then. Just doctor information for you. And boy, Dr. LaBarbara, I mean, gave him the biggest old syringe full of stuff. Listen, we have a warning here that something's far worse than a skin rash. That before God, in the right circumstances, all our determination of the flesh will just disappear. You know, some of you have a great will, more willpower than I. And maybe I have some willpower more than some of you, and vice versa at all. Some of us can really set our jaw and really work. And others less than others. But if it's of the flesh, if it's just human willpower, power, it will all fail ultimately. And here, Peter will be seen to have failed. But he was determined, was he not? So, warning. And we, if the right things happen, strike the shepherd, and the sheep are going to scatter. The cross, they'll all scatter. But even all that warning about the sheep scattering and they're all running off, there is hope just right here, and I want to say it. Christ knows his sheep. Even the little weak ones and the foolish ones that ask dumb questions and should just listen. The ones that don't even know their own heart. I think I know myself pretty well, but you know what? I really don't. And I'm glad I don't see all my heart all the time. Isn't it good that we don't see who we really are? I wouldn't come this morning probably. But we are nevertheless his sheep, and he gathers us in, and we are his. It's a little scruffy little flock. But it's his, and he gathers us, and he will not lose one. It's a good word. Okay. Here in this text, Jesus says, Jesus answered Peter and says, "Will you lay down your life for me?" Jesus quotes Peter right back to him. Just exact quote. Quotes the words back to him. And by that, there's a strong emotional tug when we read it. And I thought, you know, the Lord will judge us by our own words, by our own thoughts. Listen, all the rest of these guys, they may run off, but I'm not running off. I think the Lord judges us by our own thoughts and how we judge others. Basically, Peter at that moment looked around this group and says, "I'm better than those guys. I don't care what they do. I'm not going. I'm sticking with Jesus." But where do they all go? They all run off. "For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your own standard of measure, it will be measured to you." This is another warning. Warning. We should be easy on each other. John chapter 7, verse 24. "Do not judge according to appearances, but judge with righteous judgment." Warning. Pellegro. Now here, Peter's willingness to die with and for Jesus is an eventual truth, but not a present reality. And I'd just like to say this about that. I will be stunned, and my jaw will probably fall open with glorious surprise what He does for you in the future. Look. Look. All of us are going to look at each other totally transformed, and there's future things and future events in our lives that ultimately, in the great end of all things, we will be glorified, we'll be just like Him. But you know what? Peter... willingness to die was not fake. He just didn't know what was coming. And you, the cross, you are silly to think that the cross is not something to be shied away from. This, the very nature of the cross, is something anybody with any sense would not shy away from, because it's bad, it's humiliating, it's painful, it's horrible. And Peter just didn't know all that. But you know what? The end of this gospel, Jesus is going to tell Peter, "Yeah, you will follow me. You'll stretch out your hands." You know it's coming, isn't he? And that's a glory. Peter's going to get there, and that's our hope. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not yet appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." The more we know, the better and more equipped we are to follow Him. But we'll eventually see Him. Now with this point, we'll close with this, and we have plenty of time. The farewell address of Christ to these 11 men will just go in earnest, and everything is just packed full. And so I hope you read it and get good stuff from it. It's just all a glory. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just stand before you and know how so often we've presented two swords to you. And it's, and those two swords are just the things of this flesh and this world. And Father, we just know that what we are is just not enough. Father, we thank you that Peter has gone before us and that you've used him and he's a glory to us. And we love him for who he was and all that we see of ourselves in him. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.